The Head Bakken Report, produced by the Bakken Experts, head companies founded in 1945.
This week's guest tells us some amazing things about his community. He is the mayor of Watford City, North Dakota, Brent Sanford. From the Head Companies, this is the Head Bakken Report.
Hear the latest news from Bakken newsmakers. Subscribe to the Head Bakken Report podcast on iTunes at headcompanies.com/podcast.
From the Head Companies Dickinson, North Dakota studios in the heart of the Bakken, this is the Head Bakken Report podcast for the first full week of October 2014. The Bakken rig count stands at 192, and West Texas Intermediate crude is being traded at $85.77 a barrel at press time. You are going to hear some amazing statistics coming up as we visit with the mayor of Watford City, North Dakota, Brent Sanford, on the Head Bakken Report.
If you need workforce housing in the heart of the Bakken, Amber Hills Lodge in Watford City is the answer. Amber Hills Lodge has private suites, kitchen, and on-site laundry, DirecTV with NFL ticket, high-speed internet, and more. There are long-term and short-term leases available. Amber Hills Lodge, conveniently located 1 mile south of the latest grocery, retail, shopping, and restaurant development in Watford City. For more information, go to amberhillslodging.com or call Jackie at 605-336-2111.
Are you looking for apartments with luxury, location, and convenience? Then check out Watford City's newest addition, Auburn Ridge Apartments, located off Highway 23 in the Hunter's Run Master Planned Community. Auburn Ridge offers all the amenities of comfortable living in the heart of the Bakken. Auburn Ridge offers studio, one-bedroom, two-bedroom, and three-bedroom units with on-site laundry, DirecTV, high-speed internet, exterior decks, private and paved parking, and the options of furnished apartments. Auburn Ridge will have you feeling at home in no time. Auburn Ridge is now leasing apartments for December 2014. Contact Kelsey at 605-336-2111 to find out about leasing options and pricing.
On this episode of the Head Bakken Report, we get in touch with a very, very busy man. He is the mayor of Watford City, North Dakota, Brent Sanford. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much.
How long have you been mayor of Watford City?
I just was reelected for my second term in June. So what does that bring us to? 4 years and 4 months, I believe.
Are you a lifelong resident of Watford City?
I was born and raised here. Mm-hmm. I graduated from high school in 1990. I went away to college at UND. And, of course, there was no opportunity here in the mid-90s. So, like literally almost everyone else from my class, found employment elsewhere. I lived and got married and lived in Fargo and lived in Phoenix, Arizona, lived in Denver, Colorado before moving home in 2004.
As you wrap up your first term as mayor of Watford City, what would you say was the biggest accomplishment in your first term, Brent?
If you don't mind, I'll go back a term, too. I moved home in November of 04, jumped on city council in June of 06. In June of 06, our big issues were things like dogs running loose and people getting building permits for decks that were maybe going to hang a foot over the allowable variance point for their neighbor's yard, things like that. There was, you felt like you were busy, but when you look back, it's kind of comical to think what we were dealing with. But all of a sudden in 2010, what it was happening in Stanley became our reality. The drilling rigs moved into the Watford City area in McKenzie County in 2010. And so the man camps started showing up, asking to go on any piece of open ground in the city if they could tie into sewer, etc. And I could see there was going to be a lot of work to do, a lot of growing pains, and we needed to be able to get a handle on how to take care of these impacts to our community. And so, starting of my term in middle of 2010, we engaged A2S to do an infrastructure study of what is this, what can we actually accomplish here, what can we actually support for population, how are we going to fund this, and then we started growing our city staff as new employees were needed. At that time we had 12 employees. With our latest budget cycle, we're going to end up with over 50 by the time we get through hiring the people we need for the next few months. So from 12 to 50 plus in 4 years' time, employee growth. We went from just guessing there might be growth coming our way to people came en masse in 2011 and 12, and there are somewhere between 15 and 20,000 people in the area. It's very hard to count because most of them are living in campers. today we've got single family housing that's coming up. And so the biggest accomplishment to me is the fact that we're staying on task with our planning efforts that have been put together. We've actually got single family housing in new subdivisions on city services 2 miles from the original city center. I mean, so to me it's a success of the onslaught we've had of population growth and commercial growth is feeling like we're handling it the best we can, and it's had some success. We've got a lot of challenges ahead.
Yeah, the plight of Watford City has been well documented by national media, if you will. What, as you look forward, what do you hope to accomplish in your current term as Mayor, Brent?
I believe in this 4 years, we can see this temporary population living in campers and wanting to, looking in from the outside, wanting to live in the city. I believe we can house those people. I really do. I believe that the number that we've got here is the type of volume we're going to end up with, at least in this area, you know, with the 15 to 20,000 mark. We've got very good population projections put together by NDSU in conjunction with KLJ and the Department of Mineral Resources that are saying, you know, 26,000 people in the county by 2019, 80% of those in Watford City. We've got an infrastructure plan to do it, to deliver the infrastructure. It's $344 million. And so we need to figure out how to get there, but we've got a plan to get there. And like I say, the single family homes are coming, business growth is coming, the retail growth is coming in. They're following the rooftops. They're moving into the city. I believe we'll get there. My main goal for the next 4 years, like I say, is to turn these the people living in substandard housing into permanent residents living in apartments, townhomes, and single family homes.
In your opinion, is housing the most significant challenge Watford City faces due to its substantial growth? And if not, then what is?
It's absolutely it's the absolute challenge. It's the number one challenge. It leads back to all of the other issues. And when you look at the increase in crime, a lot of it is due to lack of decent living conditions. You look at a lot of these issues that we have today are all circle back to the lack of affordable family housing, lack of available family housing. And we really believe that our challenges will be, you know, we'll be able to meet them reasonably as you get everyone in the right type of housing. And the challenge is where we live. We are, it's a lot, it's kind of the outback, like probably similar to trying to develop housing and permanent worker housing in northern Canada and Alaska, actually, because we just don't have the infrastructure here, don't have the building supply house stores, the, you know, anything. We're quite far when you think about Minot and Bismarck from those types of communities. And so to all of a sudden grow from 1,500 people to 15,000 in a short amount of time takes a lot of building materials. It takes a lot of construction workers. It takes a lot of capital. Those capital markets have to understand the risk they're taking is not just throwing money at a 1,500-person town. It's building a new 15 to 20,000-person community, and that's going to stay. And so it's such a challenge. It's a challenge to bring all those factors together. We've seen some positive growth in that direction. We've seen some baby steps in the right direction, but we're by no means are we there. There's a lot more support needed from the legislature this session to make sure that happens and get these permanent energy employees housed.
It's very obvious, you know, what you just stated in your proposed budget, more than triple last year's budget of $33 million. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Oh, wow. Now, how will this budget be financed, and what projects make up the bulk of that budget?
Well, you look at the anomaly of our budget compared to a normal community is the fact that we have an $18 million general fund balance and $550,000 of property taxes to pay for that. That on the surface, you'd say that doesn't make sense. Well, we're in lieu of county because we have the oil gross production tax is taken on oil producing properties versus property tax, so we can't levy property tax against the industrial properties that are in our county. Basically, our number one industry obviously are the oil wells, and they're not taxable. So instead, the state collects the 11.5% at the wellhead, and we have to basically go to the legislature and beg for it back, to bring it back here to provide the governmental services everybody else has. And so we've got $12 million a year coming in of gross production tax. That's our share of the 5% tax at the wellhead. And that's how we fund our general fund, is the pittance of property tax we receive because of our low tax base, because we can't tax our number one industry, and then we receive the gross production tax of $12 million. That gets us to where we can have a police force, have streets, have the general administrative employees. Then you get into our water fund and our sewer fund. Our sewer fund has to build a $20 million wastewater treatment facility this year and immediately embark on phase two, because the first phase gets us to 7,500 people. There already are 6,500 people using the lagoon that's designed for 1,500. So it's time.
Oh,
needless
boy.
To say, it's time. And it also means we have to start on phase two immediately. And so phase two is another $20 million. So these are the types of numbers we're looking at for a community that had 1,500 people, just census of 2010. So it's phenomenal. The other major one is we've got, with having 10 times more people around, our community facilities are woefully undersized. They're sized for a community with 1,500 people. And so in conjunction with our new high school, we've got a community event center coming up beside that. I believe we budgeted $60 million of that in this current budget cycle. And that was the estimate that our finance director put in as far as what we would have to look at for this next 12 months.
You mentioned city employees. Does the budget also include an increase in your city staffing, and what role would any new employees be involved in?
In the budget is, that's part of the reason the budget's exploding. 8 years' time to have gone from 12 up to 50 employees. And we have employees now in departments we didn't have 4 years ago. We didn't have an engineering department. We didn't have a planning department. Now we have five people in those departments. You know, so we're having to move into the next rung of being a larger city and having to do all those things. We hadn't had a handful of houses built in a 25-year time period around here since the last oil boom, and all of a sudden now you have thousands of units being built per year. So it's been quite a change for our building inspector, for our city planning department, for our city engineer, which we didn't even have positions like that before. But so they've had to learn, you know, they've had to teach themselves and learn on the fly.
Our state legislators are introducing a couple of bills in the upcoming legislative session that would greatly benefit Watford City. One of them would provide $800 million in surge funds to oil-impacted counties in North Dakota. And the second one, adjusting the formula used to distribute the state's gross production tax, which you mentioned earlier, which will favor oil-producing counties like McKenzie. How important are these two bills to your goal as mayor, and what would the funds enable Watford City to accomplish, and what's the likelihood of these bills passing?
Oh, they mean everything to us. Absolutely. The counties, the cities, the schools need these funds to help us be able to get a handle on the impacts. Without these bills, what you're going to see is more road closures from the county standpoint, because they can't stay ahead of the traffic on the roads. What you're going to see from a city standpoint is the halting of the building permitting, halting of the building out of the communities to handle the energy employees. It's not good. To think of what would happen if these bills don't pass at some level near what there is being proposed is actually frightening to me, because it absolutely needs to happen. I think everyone's in agreement that we need to handle this oil impact responsibly. We have to handle this opportunity that's in front of us responsibly. And part of that is to have the right amount of infrastructure investment to be able to handle it. And so our community really needs the surge funding to get ahead of how far behind we are on arterial roads and on water and sewer lines. We also, the county really needs the surge funding to happen to get ahead of some of the haul roads that are not being able to be brought up to par with the current level of funding. They need to be brought up to par so that the oil companies can operate in the county where they're bringing in all the oil. This county produces one-third of the oil in the state, and the roads are atrocious. And the oil companies could speak volumes as to how much money they lose when we close the roads, how much money they lose by having to drive 5 miles an hour on the roads that are beaten up and nearly undrivable. So this is just something that has to happen to responsibly take care of this oil impact. And the 40-60 formula is much the same. The amount of the formula that we have now, which we get 0% of the extraction tax, which is 6.5%, we get out of the 5%, we share the bottom 4% of that to the tune of one quarter. 25% of that's what comes back to the local jurisdictions, and we're looking for 60% of that final 4%. So by us asking for the 40-60, doesn't mean we're asking for 60% of everything collected by any means. What that does is gets us to about 20 to 25% of what's collected at the wellhead. But we speak in terms of 40-60 because that's how everybody refers to the gross production tax formula at the state level.
You know, we've had quite a fall with a little more rain than we usually get in western North Dakota, and a lot of the roads had to shut down or put weight limits on them to prevent being damaged. And now, when that happens, it basically freezes the oil and trucking industries servicing the over 2,000 wells in your county. Is there anything you can do as far as infrastructure within Watford City to address infrastructure weaknesses as a whole in your county?
We've got a $188 million plan for arterial road construction that needs to happen in the 7-mile by 6-mile grid that's currently under construction for the recent annexations for our community. And the grid of arterial roads has to be completed. You can't have new developments along beat-up scoria gravel roads. And we expect the developers to pay for all their streets within their development, but it's not reasonable to expect them to fix the grid of county roads that has to become the grid of arterial roads. And anyone that comes out and takes the tour understands that you can't just special assess debt against a field that has no development along it, or a field that has a lot of it is floodplain and there's not going to be any development along it. It doesn't make sense to special assess that farmer for a $5 million piece of road along their field. So these have to be provided by the city, but there's no money unless the surge funding happens and the 40-60 formula happens. These things have to be done, and that's within our planning area. Then you move out into the county. The county commission has identified, along with their planning engineers, the key roads that need to be paved and brought up to 105,500-pound standard within the county to get the oil hauled out of here. You can't continue to use these beat-up gravel roads that turn into mush when it rains an inch like we had a couple of weeks back. There have to be haul roads put through this, through our county and through our state like you see in other energy-producing counties of other states. There has to be serious money put at a grid of haul roads in this state and in this county. In our county alone, you're looking at $800 million of that type of funding. The monies that are needed are extraordinary. You're talking $800 million for a county haul road grid. You're talking $344 million for city infrastructure. I mean, we need $1 billion plus just in McKenzie County. But when you think about the billions of dollars we put into the state treasury from the energy extraction taxes, not even to mention the sales tax money that comes from all this activity, the money's there. Our point is the money is there, reinvested in the infrastructure so that the money can keep trickling into the state's funding sources, and we'll all be in better shape for it.
We have much more with Watford City, North Dakota Mayor Brent Sanford coming up in just a moment here on the Hegg Bakken Report.
Whether your needs are long-term or short-term, Green Door Business Condos and Self-Storage in Watford City has just what you're looking for. They're open 24 hours a day and are a fully gated premises with cameras and climate-controlled units that will put you at ease that your office and storage items are safe and secure. Green Door Business Condos offers high-speed internet, training rooms, conference facilities, garage, and storage yard for your equipment. Give Kelsey a call today, 605-336-2111, and find out about their great rates and availability. Get on their waiting list now for the end of 2014.
For the finest in luxury living, the Minot North Highlands Apartments and Villas welcomes you home. Minot North Highlands features spacious furnished corporate housing with underground parking, a 30-seat movie theater, a large swimming pool and hot tub, plus a basketball court, fitness center, and a family playground complex. Minot North Highlands Apartments. You know you have arrived. For information, call Jackie at 605-336-2111.
Waiting list now open for 2014.
Our guest today on the Hegg Bakken Report is the mayor of a very busy community in the heart of the Bakken oil boom, Mayor Brent Sanford. Brent, what are your plans for the school system in Watford City and addressing the growing enrollment and diversity?
We've got a school system that increased from 500 to 1,300 in a four-year time frame as well, from 2010 until now. We have an elementary school designed for 400 kids that has 700 children in it. and that represents K through 4. The 6th graders already have been kicked up to the high school. The 5th graders are in modulars. So K through 4 is who is housed in our elementary school at this point. And like I say, there's 700 kids down there on that campus. It's designed for 400. In the high school, you've got kids standing in the back of the rooms. You've got 36 in some of the classes. So we're getting to the point where we're hurting the quality of education, and that's not a good thing. Nobody feels comfortable with that. Our school system has done a great job of keeping up. But the two schools that we had that we built in the last oil boom have now been eclipsed. We began our high school project last year. We had a successful bond vote in February that was 92% for the bonding for a new high school. But even doing as much as we could in that mill levy vote, it only brought in $27 million. And the high school, the classroom components of the new high school are 51. That's no football field, no basketball court, none of the rest of the activities, rooms that you need in a high school that size. And so that's the reason for our event center, which we're hoping to fund with sales tax. Anyway, the high school, the school is in rapid planning. They've got plans for a second elementary school as well. It'll probably have to be begun shortly, even before the new high school is completed by the middle of next year. It's been a wild ride for Steve Holen, our superintendent, but he's on it. He's the president of the Oil and Gas Producing Counties Organization. He's very active in Bismarck with the governor, with the legislature, with different education committees. He understands the oil and gas formulas. He understands the state equity formula for the per pupil funding. Steve's the right man to have in charge. Basically, they've got the schools that are being planned to handle this, but the kids came quicker than the projections showed they would. And so now we're into modulars and we're into higher class sizes than we'd have liked. Another thing he's had to do is try to house the new teachers. This year they had 22 new teachers, and last year 14. The school, county, and city went together and did a nonprofit housing facility for essential service workers called Wolf Run Village last year. And I sit on that board as well as Steve Holen, the superintendent. And those 42 units, of them, 14 were ready August 1st for his 14 new teachers last year. The rest of the units filled in with policemen, sheriff's deputies, social workers, and that we had a hard time hiring and attracting with the lack of affordable housing around here. This year, he had to put mobile homes on the former playground and former practice field next to the elementary school. And the 22 new teachers are basically housed there. Next year, he's seeing the need for hiring at least that many. So Superintendent Holen is very concerned about affordable housing. We've got LSS in town. We have a couple of affordable housing providers in town now. We hope to have some of that in place by August 1st. It's been a great challenge to try to have places for those teachers to live when all the new apartments are between $2,700 and $3,400 a month to rent. It's just not reasonable for a teacher to be able to afford that.
I think there was a news story recently that stated that 40% of Watford City Elementary students are considered homeless. Is that still the case?
It is, and that's because even if you're living in an $80,000 fifth wheel camper that's fully skirted and you're very comfortable, it's still considered homeless.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so that's the reality of how the population is being housed here, and the reality of the fact that there's 150 or so kindergartners and 50 or 60 seniors. The older kids are not, the families with older kids or the older kids are not arriving like they are in the younger ages. There's a lot of those little kids that are living in campers with their families. See all the pictures of the massive amount of campers and modulars. There's not just workers living in those. There's a lot of families living in those in our county.
That goes right back to what you stated at the beginning of the interview, that housing is a big priority in your office.
Exactly. It's the number one priority. It's my only priority. I live and breathe it all day long, trying to find affordable projects to move forward with for the essential service workers, and then trying to encourage the respectable, responsible builders to come to town and build this single-family housing. You know, it's a lot of work. We're seeing some headway, funding help from the legislature and the governor to see it continue, I guess I would like to say. But it's, you know, we're optimistic. It's been, like I say, we're making headway.
Do you get calls from families from out of town or out of state that are looking to move to Watford City?
Not very often. I get some calls from people that were high school grads from here that call and say, what's it really like? I'm kind of excited to see the things happening. And, you know, I get some of those calls and encourage them to come back. I mean, the opportunity is something we would have never imagined graduating from here. From the mid-80s on, it was basically a boot in the back saying, see ya, we'll kick you out of the nest and we'll see on Thanksgiving and Christmas, and now it's quite different. Now the kids prefer to come back here. They prefer to come home. There's a lot better income potential out here, so it's really flipped. A lot of interaction, though, with folks that are coming from out of state that move into town. They come in, and I talk to them in my business, and my wife talks to them at the park, or my wife will talk to them at a MOPS group, and the comments you hear are, wow, just the people are so friendly here. They're so open. They're, you know, they look you in the eye and speak to you, and they're nice and welcoming. I love this place. I love the school. I just got to get a house. You know, I mean, that's really what you hear. Where do you, you know, what do I do if my kids get sick? Because our hospital is completely overrun, too. We're trying to build a new $50 million hospital. We haven't broken ground yet, but that's another priority. But our hospital is overrun. Our clinic is busy. It's tough to operate out of something designed for 1,500 people, and there's 10 times that around. So the MOPS moms will ask, where do I go if my baby gets sick, that kind of thing. And until we got our Cashwise grocery store, it was, where do you go get groceries? These two little grocery stores are really busy, you know. And so, I mean, the moms are sharing information like that. It's pretty entertaining to see. I mean, they can get a feel in a hurry that it's a friendly place. It's a small-town environment, even though now it's not so small anymore.
What about selling me on Watford City? I'm a big company, and I want to set up in Watford City. Why should I choose your town, Brent?
I show them the maps of where the wells are being drilled, and this is the absolute epicenter of it. When you're looking at the growth potential and the increase in projections that were just put out, all of that growth is in this county. You're looking at 10,000 wells just in this county. The former projections were 30 to 35,000 in total. Now we're looking at 10,000 in just this county, 10,000 more. So the growth is here. The epicenter of it is here. The break-even oil price here is in the 30s. Lynn Helms said it was $37 a couple weeks back at the oil and gas producing counties annual meeting. $37 break-even, whereas some of the outlying counties are $60 to $70. It's right here. And we've got Whiting and Conoco. Whiting is set up an operations center building, you know, with 60-plus office staff in there. Conoco's building one as we speak east of town next to Nuvera Power Fuels corporate headquarters. You've got the big companies are settling in. You've got investors from Manhattan that are building four-story and five-story office buildings on Main Street, Watford City, because they've heard that that's where they've got to be to rent office space to the large oil companies. The operating companies are coming. Those are long-term jobs. Those jobs are here for 50 years. When they come in, that means they're going to produce that field for the next 50 or 60 years. It's not just drill and then leave. Those companies, when Whiting and Conoco are here, that's for 50 years. Those are great jobs, very stable jobs. We're seeing the investment from all over the world coming in here, and they know it's the epicenter of the play. And I would say also, you know, visit the community, get a feel for it. You'll see that we've got a good feel. We've got good priorities for a community. Our churches are all growing. We've got $3, $4, $5 million additions going on to the churches. We've got the event center being planned for this, so that we have a family life component to this growth as well.
You mentioned Main Street, Watford City. Do you have a vision for the downtown area in Watford City?
Absolutely. We, in 2003 and 2004, we started a Renaissance Zone project. This was before I moved back. It's part of the reason I moved back was the improvements that Steve Stengem and First International Bank were making on Main Street. He decided to keep the operations center for his 15 or so banks here in his hometown, where his grandfather and his father put down their roots and started growing this banking holding company. And so First International Bank redeveloped an entire block downtown and put the Outlaw Steakhouse and movie theater in the building. And all of a sudden, we really had something to build on. And then in 2008, the city council rebuilt the Main Street under a streets program with the state DOT. And we decided to pay up for concrete instead of just doing it in asphalt. And so we have colored concrete crosswalks, and we have a median in the middle with decorative lighting. It's just a beautiful Main Street. And that was at a time when people were actually coming back to run businesses in the formerly vacant buildings on our Main Street. And it was an exciting time. The Renaissance Zone was used to spruce up some of those buildings. Well, now it's in another iteration of changeover. Half the blocks and full blocks are being purchased to put, like I say, 4 and 5 story office buildings with investors from Manhattan. It's phenomenal to see. and that's on Main Street, Watford City.
They're talking about 13,500 wells by 2027. That's actually near 11,000 wells more than today's number. You know, there's a lot of talk about the future of the oil industry in western North Dakota. What do you see your city and state looking like in the future as far as the oil industry is concerned?
I guess the information that came out the last month from the oil and gas producing counties annual meeting and the North Dakota Petroleum Council annual meeting was very encouraging. Basically, they're showing graphs of if the drilling shut off today, what does it look like? And you still drill out this field for another 20, 30, 40 years. It's not like it just levels off to nothing. And so it's a different play. And besides that fact, when you're talking about $37 break-even oil in eastern McKenzie County, even at $70 oil, they're a long ways from that. There's no problem to keep drilling. And so it's the projections, the numbers, the future of where this could go are mind-boggling. And the other things that we were shown at these two annual meetings were other ancillary-type pieces of the business that we had never thought about before, like the plastics business and the large manufacturing plants that will come in to process the natural gas into plastic products, and the other uses for natural gas like CNG and LNG. And it's phenomenal to see. A guy asked me, he said, why Statoil knows how to do all this, why are they not doing it here? Why do they do it in the rest of the world? I said, because North Dakota doesn't have the gathering system in place yet. We treated our oil field like we did our wheat fields and our pastures with our ranches. We take calves, we ship them out of state. We take wheat, we ship them out of state. We took oil, shipped it out of state. Gas, we flare it off or we put it in a pipeline, ship it out of state. Now there's going to be such a critical mass of natural gas and oil here that some of that processing and value-added manufacturing and such looks like it will be done right here in the state. So nobody's projecting that job growth and what that looks like. But that's an exciting future for us to be able to diversify horizontally into the energy industry and not just have to rely on the ups and downs of drilling, but have that type of stable manufacturing work here as well. I usually say when I hear a projection from a KLJ or an NDSU or any of these studies and I hear all the conservative pieces they've got into their projection, I just say, what if you're wrong? It looks like we're going to be short on this projection. What if we need to have 50,000 or 60,000 people in this town? And you know, it's what are you supposed to do? The best we can do is go by the experts' projections and plan our infrastructure for that. And so here we are.
With that in mind, with your leadership, Brent, what do you want Watford City to look like in 10 years?
I want Watford City to have, drive into town, you see landscaped properties. You don't see scoria yards with metal buildings. You drive in, you see landscaped properties that are permanent looking, that are professional looking, and as they scan the town, you see nice new subdivisions of homes, you see new apartment buildings, you see a nice new school that's, you know, less than 10 years old, you see a shiny new hospital that's 5 or 10 years old, you see this 160,000 square foot event center that's got families and kids and people of all ages that are using it. Basically, you're going to see a 6 mile by 6 mile grid of a city where there used to be just a 1 mile by 1 mile town with farmland around it. And a city that's that big with everything built within the last 10 years. I mean, it should be very nice looking. There should be a family feel to it. We sincerely hope we have that. And you really need to have the infrastructure money in place to build that the right way. If you don't, you're in the danger of being an oil camp forever, where you've got everything is put together on the cheap, and you've got no pavement, no concrete, no, you know, the buildings are metal. You don't have a permanent look to it. We really don't want to have that. We really want to have the permanent look, and we feel like we've got a plan to get there. We feel like we have the right plan with the churches, the city leaders, valuing things like affordable housing and community events and recreational activities and opportunities, the school board being as proactive as they are. We think we've got the right priorities to be a family-friendly place and take care of this activity and this opportunity responsibly.
Finally, Brent, are there any books that you've read that have impacted your professional career?
Well, the last book I read was Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand, and I think it's from the 50s. What a fascinating read. The concept of the prime movers that make the world move with their industrialness and their industriousness and their hard work and their faith in their own abilities to move forward with technology versus the other folks that don't, that henpeck at them and take shots at them and say it can't be done. And that book was it was just from cover to cover, it was fascinating. It was a fascinating read for me. Very timeless, very awesome book, can't say enough. I've read a lot of books in my life. That's just the last one, and I found it very, very well timed for me.
I was going to say, I chuckle because you described the book and it sounds like the last half hour of our conversation, Brent. So,
yeah, you got to have faith and got to have vision and keep pushing, and that's the only thing that'll keep it moving forward. And that's true. You've got to have the people to do it. We have a great team. Everybody's on the same page. There's not bickering and infighting between the city, school, and county. And it's the Chamber of Commerce is on page. It's when you have an 85% vote to increase your sales tax to 1.5%, when you have a 92% vote for a new school in Watford, they just had a 91% vote in Alexander for a new school. We've got, I think everybody is on the same page. So it feels good. It feels like we're moving in the right direction. But we do need some infrastructure help. We need some assistance to get that infrastructure in the ground. So that's the only concern.
You have a lot on your plate, sir. I admire you. I hope to shake hands with you one day, and I know that the community of Watford City, North Dakota, is in good hands under your leadership. Our guest today on the Hegg Bakken Report has been the mayor of Watford City, North Dakota, Mr. Brent Sanford. Brent, thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
If you want more of the Hegg Bakken Report, you can subscribe to the Hegg Bakken Report at iTunes. Or go to HeggBakkenReport.com. That's HeggBakkenReport.com, where you can get all of the transcripts and audio for past newsmakers in the United States energy industry and much, much more. Follow the Hegg Bakken Report on Twitter at Hegg Bakken Report or on Facebook. Until next time, thanks for listening.